John chapter 6 this morning. Familiar story of Jesus walking on the water. When I lived in Scotland and was studying the Gospel of John, I reached this Gospel. Somehow I had this feeling that I was reading it on a very surface level. But somehow I felt like I was missing some of its greater messages and missing some of its depth, and that the messages that it did have to offer, I felt like I don't think I'm really practicing those messages. I don't think I'm really walking them out. So I just camped there for, I guess, 6 or 8 weeks and just said, I'm not moving off of this portion till I really feel that I've got the word of the Lord out of it. And I learned so much during that time, and it's given me such a large appreciation for this episode in Jesus' life and what he's trying to say through it. And I guess I'm still growing, in that. It's just a delight to be able to touch on this with you today. John chapter 6, we're going to take a reading from the 16th verse and following. Hallelujah. When evening came, the disciples of Jesus went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and they set off across the lake for Capernaum. And by now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. That's an important phrase. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed 3 or 3.5 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Don't be afraid." Then and only then were they willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. May God add his blessing to this portion from his holy word. We love the word of God. We love the holy scriptures. They have in them all things that we need for life and godliness. Father, we ask that your word would come forth as it did out of your own mouth, that it would come forth and bring spirit and life. We also ask that it would be clothed in your divine power, that it would come forth in a demonstration of the Holy Spirit and of your mighty power. We ask that your presence, your glorious presence, your powerful presence would break in amongst us, rest strongly upon us, and prepare our hearts to be, in fact, the very dwelling place of God on earth. We pray that your word would lay forth stepping stones for some of the very places that you're about to step into in our lives. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we've taken a look and spent some time on Jesus feeding the 5,000, all in 3 of the 4 Gospels. Of course, Jesus walking on the water directly follows that miracle. That's significant. We may touch upon that at another time. But following this, Jesus asked his apostles to get into the boat and to row to the other side of this lake. He was going to spend some time in prayer and meet them later. And the day started with pleasant enough weather. But when they got to about the middle of the lake, the sky grew dark, and they found themselves that day in a terrifying storm. John says this, a strong wind was blowing. And he says, and the waters grew rough. Matthew adds to that, and he said that the boat was buffeted by the waves. What an interesting choice of words. Buffet means to beat up. It felt like the storm had become so fierce that it was like they felt buffeted or beat up by it. Mark adds to that, and he says this, the disciples were straining at the oars. So it's a picture of these 12 strong men and they're pulling with all their might. This is not a peaceful crossing. This is a strenuous crossing. And what made matters far worse than all of those things is found in verse 17. It says, and Jesus had not yet joined them. As tough as this day was, there was a distinct lack of the direct presence of Jesus with them. Now they know he's not far away. They know that he has not forgotten them. They know that he's not forsaken them because God never forgets those that he is in covenant with. But if they're anything like you and I, they must have thought to themselves, are we in the right place? Because this doesn't feel like the will of God. If we were in the center of God's will, wouldn't it be smooth sailing? Wouldn't this be clear sailing? Did we get in the right boat? He told us to get in the boat and go across the lake. Was this the boat? Was this the right lake? Are we heading the right direction? Did we hear wrong? Did we miss something along the line? Because this doesn't feel like God's will at all. And much the same way you might take a look over the last weeks, months, maybe even couple years of your life and said, that reminds me of my life, because maybe for you it's been dark recently. John, there's a strong wind. Maybe you feel like there's the strong winds of adversity blowing against you. It says the waters grew rough. And you hear that and go, yeah, it's been rough. It's been rough this last number of months. Mark says the boat was buffeted. And maybe when you hear that word, you says, I feel a little beat up. Life has been rough. Unexpected things have been happening. Life has not been turning out the way that I wish it had. I feel a bit buffeted. Mark says the disciples were straining at the oar, and maybe you feel like that. You're like, I feel like I am pulling and pulling and pulling, and I can't make any ground. There they were in the center of this, like pulling, and sometimes it just feels like, are we moving? Is anything happening? And yet, with all their heart, they're pulling and using all their strength and doing everything that they know how to do. And maybe for you, you've asked the same questions. Am I in the will of God? Because life has been anything but smooth. And yet there can be this feeling in our heart that says, if we were in the center of Jesus' will, I wouldn't look like a storm. It would be smooth, clear sailing. And yet we know from these guys' life that they were in the very center of Jesus' will for their lives. And it wasn't smooth, and it wasn't clear. They were in a storm of God's making, and they were meant to be there. This was a storm with a purpose. This was a storm that had the power to prepare them for what was coming. So let's take a look at the purpose of this storm. I believe that the purpose of this storm was to flush to the surface something that was deep in their hearts. Jesus knew it was in their hearts, but he wanted to bring it to the surface where it could be dealt with. It was something that they were largely unaware of, maybe entirely unaware of, didn't even know it was there. It was something which had was blinding their prophetic sight. It was keeping them from seeing Jesus as clearly as they would like to. It was something which was strangulating the very life out of their faith. They didn't know what it was. They could feel it active, but they didn't know what it was. Something which was preventing them to having the kind of intimate relationship with Jesus that their hearts were longing for. Something which was no doubt even limiting how close they could even get to one another as a community of disciples. They could feel something that is affecting these relationships. They want to be close to him. They want to be close to each other. But something is playing into the equation that they don't understand. And it's preventing intimacy on both levels. Something which was hindering them from the miraculous life that they were called to live. And that thing that was preventing them, the purpose of this storm was to flush to the surface fear. The Bible says they're terrified. And if you'd asked these guys before this boat ride these robust men? Do you guys struggle with fear? Probably to a man, they would say, I don't have any fear. Come on, I've lived a whole life as a rough man. I've lived a whole life on the sea. I'm not afraid of anything. Because there are some things about our life that only become apparent, even to us, under pressure. Some things only become clear to us in a storm. I don't think they even knew this existed before this storm. But by the middle of the lake, then they knew it. It had brought to the surface something that was very real, very evident, and affecting their lives on many levels. But they were unaware of it. The Bible says they were terrified, and that fear was affecting them profoundly. You know, here's men who, among anybody on the face of the earth, these were 12 men that were called to be giants of faith. And the single greatest enemy of faith will always be fear. So let's take a look at how it affected them. Number one, it completely altered their judgment. Jesus was coming to them, walking on the water. He had not forgotten them. He hadn't abandoned them. In fact, he's walking on the water to show them that the thing which they feared most was under his feet. He's coming to them with enormous purpose, and yet as he's coming to them, they don't even recognize it. They see something coming to them. The other gospels fill in a little bit of the blanks and said that the reason they were terrified is they think it's an evil spirit. They think this is a demon coming to them on the water, and it's actually Jesus. If you don't think fear has power, it is the power to blind so completely that when you are in the middle of the storm, you won't even be able to recognize the presence of Jesus. Even though he may be coming to you in a stronger, more dramatic way than he has ever come, you will not be able to recognize him. Or if you do, you will suffer a mistaken identity, and sometimes we think it's all demons. This is actually Jesus. This is their Lord and the Savior, but he'd never come in that way before. They couldn't recognize him, and they thought he was an evil spirit. Now, I'm sure we've all had instances of mistaken identity. Someone come up to you on the street and thinking you were someone you weren't. But I doubt anybody ever tapped you on the shoulder and said, hey, oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were Lucifer. That probably has never happened. Before I left home, when I was about 16, before I started traveling around the world, of course, my voice sounded a lot like my dad. So people would phone up. And they would launch into a whole discussion of something, and I had to wait till they stopped and caught their breath, and then I could say, actually, I'm not Art. I'm Todd, because there's a case of mistaken identity. But not one of them said, oh, sorry, that's Lucifer. I thought, is Art there? There's an evil spirit on the phone. I'd prefer to speak to your dad. Like, it never got that bad. And I doubt that anyone in your life, whoever you were mistaken for, probably none of you were ever mistaken for a demon. But Jesus was. Don't even recognize him. Like us, we're there, oh Lord, come to me in the midst of my storm. He can be right there on your doorstep and you cannot recognize him. Because fear has the complete power to blind you and prevent you from being aware of the presence of Jesus. Fear is a very, very powerful thing. Jesus was present in this storm. I mean, in a dramatic way, he is right there. And they cannot recognize him. And our fears have very, very similar effects on us. When I studied this when I was in Scotland, I was amazed because thinking these guys probably didn't even realize this was in them. So Jesus creates this scenario, creates this storm, so that they'll soon discover what's in them. So when I finished this study, I said, well, Lord, I feel a little like those guys. If someone was to ask me what are the dominating fears in my life, I'd think, I don't know. I don't even feel like I have any. I feel like I'm afraid of very much. But I don't want to fall into that mistake and then have you have to create a storm to show me. So I just said, I realized I probably got them. Well, since praying that prayer, guess what? I have found countless ones. And they can be sometimes so small and so subtle. We've lived with them so long, they feel like partners. They're just been there and we're so familiar with them that we're just in the custom of saying, oh, that's just me. Or that's just the way I am. Or that's the part of my personality. And so because of that, we excuse ourselves from ever having to be delivered of them. But those fears are very present, they're very real, and they're super active in our lives, playing a very big part. And you know, when we're together like this under the presence of the Holy Spirit, sometimes we have to exercise a little boldness to say, okay, Lord, what are my fears? What are my fears that keep me from seeing you? Keep me from living life like I'm called to live. When I was, it's been the last week of prayer, I actually went to a pastor's conference. My reason for going wasn't necessarily to hear speakers. I just felt like the presence of the Lord was strong there, and I just wanted to go spend some days camped in his presence and listening to him, having encounters with him. But actually, I found that the time that I'd set apart to do that turned out very different than I expected. I was expecting just these really powerful encounters with the Lord. Instead, he just seemed to stick his finger into my heart, and let's see what fears that we can find there. So one day, I'm just like really pressing into the Lord, expressing such desire for his presence. I feel like the Lord just tell me, you got to like relax. Because even my body language is kind of like, I was like, but I'm pressing in, I'm desiring more. But yeah, you got to relax. And I found it not easy to let go. I'm just pursuing you, Lord. But it was like he was there, well, let me pursue you for a bit. But I realized the reason I had a hard time letting go is, what happens if I let go and he doesn't pursue me? And that was tapping into a deeper fear. What happens if I'm not worthy of being pursued? I didn't even know that was in me. What happens if I'm not worthy of being pursued? And then I all of a sudden, just my life flashed before me that when I tend to, in instances like the rest of you in life where some relationship goes wrong, I tend to be almost exclusively the guy that'll go try to mend it. Like for my whole life. Like and not only that, I will overcompensate and go to excessive levels, probably ridiculous levels, to fix this thing. And own more of it than I probably would ever be safe or reasonable. And I'm realizing I'm all driven by some fear that's, and another fear, a closely related fear that says, Todd, maybe it's all your fault. And just, it's there, just lurking in the background. And so part of my overcompensation is to prove to myself it's not, or prove to somebody, or, but really it's just this fear that's lurking in the background. It's affecting things whether you want it or not. And we all have these fears. We have fears of betrayal. I would really love to get close to people, but what happens if they do the same thing to me that the last group did? Fear of abandonment. It's there. Fear of abandonment. Fear of rejection. An intense fear. I'd really love to get close to these people, but what happens if they reject me? And we've come out of a past where we had genuine instances of rejection, and so now what we do is we expect it. And we even read it into situations. We feel like we're being rejected when we're not really. Now, there really is a wound, and there really was rejection, but now we find ourselves transferring it onto people and reading rejection into situations where they're not even rejecting us. It's a fear. I had the most beautiful experience yesterday. A lady from our church, Charlie and Carol Norquist. Carol was getting surgery done yesterday in Calgary for pancreatic cancer. She kept it pretty under the wire, so she had people praying for her, but didn't really want to say what she was getting prayer for. And so, where's Amos and I? And we went up, I just went up yesterday to go be with them and pray for them. And it was such an interesting experience because when I was first praying for her, as soon as I come into the room, I could see she feels like what we feel like. She was very afraid. Okay? You don't shame people for being afraid. Jesus didn't shame them. She was very real. And, so I prayed for her, but, just didn't feel like it brought the level of comfort I would like. But the lady that was the nurse that was taking her down said, you're a pastor, would you like to come down? You can come right down to the preparation room. And I could stay right up until the moment they put her under anesthetic. So I pulled up a chair And I said, how are you feeling? She said, I'm afraid. I said, what's your greatest fear? And she said, my sister died of this very thing. My sister came in, the exact same thing, but in surgery they found out that it had spread all throughout her body. And afterwards, they told her she has 3 months to live. I'm afraid they're going to get down there and going to find out stuff. Now, as tough as that moment is, now we're dealing with the real issue. You know, as long as that fear that you can pray for someone, it'll just be like water off a duck's back. That's what you were like. That's what I'm like. It doesn't absorb into us because the stronghold of fear is occupying that place. And we just took some time to pray for that. Just took time to minister to that because we have this painful experience again in the past. We don't really know how to figure it out. We don't know what to do with it. So it's created a fear inside of us. So then we go into the future and it is really difficult for us to get our faith up. Because the place where faith resides is filled with fear. And it's one or the other. That's a throne in which one of those will sit but not the other. That one will always be trying to push the other to the surface or to the side. And we just got this beautiful chance to pray. And watch that fear get uprooted. And I said, and we just paused there. There was nurses coming. We weren't working with everybody. But when they would leave, I just said, the Holy Spirit's going to come now. And he's going to give you a promise that'll take you through this. And it was so beautiful to see fear lose its place. Now she can just face this day on its own merits. Not thinking of every terrible thing that's ever happened in life and expecting it'll probably all happen today again. Just face it on its own merits. And the Lord came and met with her. In her language, she said, the Lord just held me. But the reason it was so meaningful is when she first became a Christian, she had a very distinct fear, and that's the way the Lord displaced it. He just came, and he told her, you don't have to be afraid of this. He displaced it, and he hugged her, and he loved her, and she has never suffered that fear ever since. So for her, this was her love language with the Father. What it did for my heart to watch the transition, by the time I left, and we all left. And the Lord had worked in such a way. It was just, she's joking, laughing, holding Charlie's hand. They're being romantic with each other. And a peace had come over her. Keep praying for her. The surgery's done. They've said they didn't find anything unexpected. That her body went through the surgery well. And they're expecting a good recovery. That's all we know at this point. Keep praying for her. But you know, that was a dire storm yesterday for that dear woman. I mean, we know Charlie and Karen. We love them in our church. I'll tell you what, that's some kind of a dark storm. And Jesus was there walking on that storm, present in that place, bringing fear to the surface, exposing it. So that just like cream off the top of milk, he could scoop it off. Restoring faith, healing her heart, giving her promises. And he was very present. What's your fear? Fear of loneliness? Fear of not having friends? Fear of not being a significant person. Fears of having your dreams dashed. And fears that your kids will go astray. Fear that if they do go astray, it's all your fault. You've done something wrong, that you're a failure. We've all got them. But right in the midst of that fear, they hear these words, and it's this, it is I. I'm not a demon. It's I. It's me. Guys, it's me. Wake up. Open your eyes. I'm here. Do not be afraid. And then it has these words. then they were willing to take him into the boat. So if, having heard those words, then they were willing to take him into the boat, what does it mean they were like beforehand? They were unwilling. Literally, the presence of Jesus was there. Jesus himself was trying to step into the boat. The disciples don't really understand what this is and this apparition. And they're literally preventing the presence of Jesus from their boat because it's freaking them out. So as soon as they realize it's him, oh, then they were willing to let him in. Which brings me to the second thing about fear. Fear will prevent the presence of Jesus from being as large in our lives as we'd like it to be. In their case, fear was keeping the presence of Jesus at a distance. And the more I've thought about this episode in Jesus' life, the more I love it, because there's a drama to it. He came to them with flair. Many of Jesus' things that he does, there's a real subtlety to the way Jesus goes about certain things. When Jesus was doing the miracle at Cana of Galilee, it's very subtle. Most of the people that day didn't even know he was there. They didn't even know it was him. They drank the benefits of this miracle, but most of them didn't even know it was him. On other occasions, Jesus would heal someone. He'd say, "Now, go and tell nobody." It's like really understated. Just did this wonderful thing and don't broadcast it. It's just between you and me. Just keep that to yourself. It's very subtle. But then there's other things that Jesus does, and there's a very strength to it and a kind of drama to it. So the Mount of Transfiguration, there's nothing subtle about it. He is there in strength and power and glory. Like blinding glory. Like an amazing instance. When he, after his resurrection, he came to his disciples, and there's a drama to it. He walked right through walls. Like it's kind of scared them sometimes because he came to them in such a powerful way. And you must prepare yourself that in Jesus working in our lives, sometimes he's going to want to come to us in very subtle ways. And sometimes he wants to come to us in very strong ways. But when you've been living for years with him coming in very subtle ways, you have to begin to change your heart and say, am I ready if he was going to come to me in a more dramatic way? If he was going to come to me in a stronger way, if I was going to see him come to me in a more powerful way, would my heart be ready for it? See, think of this story. It's not like the disciples were afraid, so the presence of Jesus comes to them to comfort. The presence of Jesus comes to them, and that's what freaks them out. He'd never come to them in such a strong way before. He'd never come to them in that kind of way, and that's what made them terrified. So whatever else we may be afraid of, one of the things that can absolutely freak someone else out is when Jesus begins to come in ways that he's never come before. That's what made them terrified. When we were first Christians in this church, so I was like back 15 years of age, maybe been 14, we would go to something called United Church Renewal Fellowship Camps. And as I've thought back about this, I'm so thankful to Pastor Bill and whoever the leadership team would have been at that time for leading us in that direction. I became a Christian the first time. And the next year I went there, I mean, these were just the most wondrous times. The worship was out of this world. Just the praying for people, the moving of the Spirit was just incredible. And here, as a new person to church, I never seen anything like this. So I sat and watched. Because if I'd never seen him moving in a stronger way, it's a little bit scary at first. So I sat and watched. But by the last night, I said, I've got to have some of this. Whatever is happening, whatever God is doing there, it's not subtle. It's really strong. I want some of this. You know, and sometimes you can just hear the voice of Jesus saying, oh, don't be so afraid. It's I. I'm in this. So I went forward, 15 years of age. They prayed for me. The power of the Lord just absolutely zapped me. And I'll tell you what, when I left that camp, I was just such a changed person. I remember going back to brand new person, new Christian, going back to school, and I just wanted to share my faith with everybody I met. And I was not a confident or a bold person, but I literally felt compelled. I felt such a strong presence of Jesus with me. I remember I'm just a 15-year-old walking on the way to the bus stop in the mornings, and I just feel this extremely strong presence of Jesus with me, and I just can't stop singing to him. And I'm not much of a singer. I just can't stop worshiping him. I remember walking through the hallways of my school. I mean, this is all very new for me. Some of you, you've grown up in this. I didn't. So I'm thinking, wow, it's like Jesus is with me. Do I look different? Or I remember saying to him, this feels like I'm going to school with the invisible man. Because you're so real to me. His presence and power was so strong with me. And just thinking, I never went to school like this before. And of course, it's exactly what Jesus said. Go to Jerusalem. Tarry there. I'm going to send the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, they'd already had experiences of the Spirit, but they had a very powerful experience of the Spirit. And he says, afterwards, you will share your faith everywhere. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, all over the world. You will be compelled to share your faith with people. That's exactly what happened to me. But when I first saw it, I'm thinking, that's a little scary. Never seen anything quite like that before. And let me tell you this, Jesus is coming to our church in increasingly strong ways. There's a coming presence of the Lord to our church that will be marked with strength. And we are going to see him transfigured. We're going to see his power before us. And knowing that, there is a preparation that just needs to happen into our hearts, that as he comes in ways that he maybe hasn't come to you before, that we will welcome that and be free of our fear. Be free of our fear. For me, I was 15 at that time, but some of you, you may be in that spot now. Again, in the late 1998, I'd spent 12 years in a very tough wilderness experience praying for the move of the Spirit. When it started to happen to me, a really strong, like stuff right out of the Bible strong, is a little spooky for me. It's a little scary. But I told the Lord, just tell me what you did then. If it's you, I want it. If it's you, I want it. I'm in. And I welcomed that presence. I welcomed him to come in with strength into my life. I'd like you to join me in a minute of prayer. I'm going to ask that the Lord would just, first of all, show you what are the fears that play into your life. A fear of being overlooked. A fear of not being noticed. A fear of not being appreciated. A fear of feeling like your best days are behind you and you'll never see them again. So Father, would you come in that sweet way you do by your Holy Spirit and just speak to our hearts. A fear of never having enough. So I have to overcompensate and work so hard and save so much. And we have all our good reasons for telling people why we're doing it. Because I'm going to become financially independent. Hogwash. It's not coming out of faith. It's coming out of fear. And you need to hear the Lord speak that to your heart today. You feel like, ultimately, you feel like he's not going to come through for you. So you might as well take matters into our own hands and do it ourselves. That's fear. That's fear. The fear that I'm a failure. that I'm no good, that I won't amount to anything. That's a fear. The fear that I can't let anybody close to me because maybe they'll reject me. That's a fear. I'm not likable. If I got close to people, they probably wouldn't like it. That's a fear. And what kind of storm has been brewing in your life recently? That Jesus is raising those fears to the surface so that you can have a little talk with him about it. And he's not trying to shame you because of the fear. He's just trying to free you of it. So Father, speak to our hearts. A fear of being taken advantage of. A fear of being betrayed. A fear that I don't have what it takes. A fear that maybe God doesn't intend good for me because I'm not worth it. Sometimes I have a fear. What happens if revival doesn't come? Instead of a faith, it's driven by fear. I even pray out of fear. God doesn't answer the prayer of fear. He answers the prayer of faith. What happens if my husband doesn't convert? Speak to our hearts. And guess what? Some of you are like the disciples who think, I don't have any fears. Guess what? Wake up. You do. They've just been there so long, and you've operated out of them so long, that they're like friends. You think it's just a quirk of your personality. Just say, Lord, I acknowledge it. I give it to you. Replace it with faith. Come on, what fears do we have about our children? Their welfare, their health, our grandchildren. Replace it with faith. Our future. Second thing I want us to pray about. That if the Lord were to come to us in a stronger way, like he came to the disciples this day, would our hearts be ruled by fear? And let's pray, say, Lord Jesus, we're ready. We make a choice. We're ready for you to come to us in a stronger way. like you did to them in a way that demonstrates your power. Your power even over the very things that we're scared of. And we make a choice that as you come to us in that way, that our hearts will be ruled by faith instead of ruled by fear. Just welcome his presence. Say thank him for the subtle ways he's come, and thank him for the strong way he intends on coming. Because they're both beautiful. And just as you pray, I wonder how many people feel like today there's just an increasing over the last weeks, increasing, just a craving for a greater intimacy with Jesus and a greater presence of Jesus. And you just feel like, I don't even know how to live without it. So today he's trying to prepare your hearts that when he does come that, it's going to scare you a little bit. And so there's a choice to say, I won't be ruled by that. I won't be ruled by that. So let's collectively, let's invite him. He was doing this in the disciples' lives because they were men who were going to be great men of faith. So he had to get rid of fear. They're men who were destined to live in the miraculous. So he had to get rid of self-reliance. Heavenly Father, we, as a body, we welcome the increasing presence of Jesus amongst us. In fact, we say, how could we even live without it? Just like you came to your disciples in a stronger, more pronounced, more powerful way than you had done previously. Come to us. In a stronger, more powerful way than we have previously known you. We welcome your presence. We pray that every day amongst us, strength of your presence would increase.